You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
This is an institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen to students, listen to parents.
We're seniors. This is our year to slack off.
Listen to teachers, listen to principals.
Okay.
Bueller.
Rarely is the question asked, is our children learning?
Empower us. Don't keep creating a nation of professional test takers.
The best anti-poverty program around is a world-class education.
All week long, we've had a conversation about education and how we can fix America's schools. But across the nation, there's a lot of more impassioned dialogue going on. That is the sound of high school students and parents protesting over school funding in Baltimore. The fact is, many schools have been buoyed over the past year by stimulus funds. Those funds are now running out, and we're beginning to hear protests from all across the country as school budgets are slashed. L.A., Miami, Denver, and here in New York. That's kids at the Robeson High School and parents saying, "Save our schools," protesting the closure of 19 schools the city deemed to be failing. But that's an approach favored by the Obama administration. So if some of these solutions that Barack Obama is considering are causing protests in cities across the country, where do we go from here? We have answers from two people who've taken a close look at both New York and in Baltimore. Mark Steiner is host of the Mark Steiner Show at Baltimore's WEAA. And also Beth Furtick is with us. She's the senior reporter for WNYC Radio in New York City, author of the new book, Why Can't You Teach Me to Read? Three Students and a Mayor Put Our Schools to the Test. And also, Beth, you've written about New York's attempt to close these 19 failing schools and what that means for changes nationally. So I got to ask you, is it fair to take a look at these two cities, at what's going on with charter schools in Baltimore, say, and closing schools in New York, and kind of draw a national idea on solutions from these two cities?
Absolutely, because the Obama administration is proposing various types of school reform, and we're already seeing them play out in many cities across the country, so that gives us a bit of a sneak preview. For example, here in New York, where the chancellor has been closing schools and replacing them with small new schools, the Obama administration favors that. They want turnaround models in schools across the country that they want to give federal money to, and those models of turnaround can include replacing the principal or replacing the principal and the staff, or shutting the school down and bringing in a new school, or just shutting the school down altogether, like Arne Duncan, the U.S. Secretary of Education, did when he was running the Chicago schools. Now, here in New York, Mayor Bloomberg and his chancellor, Joel Klein, have shut down 91 schools, mostly large failing high schools, since they've been in office, and replaced them mostly with small new schools and charter schools. And that's what they were planning to do with 19 schools this year until a state judge intervened and said the city didn't do a thorough assessment of how these closings would affect students and other neighborhood schools because of a new law that went into effect last year.
It's always the implementation that gets you. Mark Steiner, this, you heard Beth just mentioning charter schools, and that's one place where Baltimore is moving ahead with one of Barack Obama's ideas. He likes the idea of expanding innovative charter schools, and there you've added 31 charter schools, and you only have about 200 schools, so 31 out of 200 is a lot. How is it working out?
It's not just that either. I mean, what they've created in Baltimore, 24 new transformation high schools. They've got another, I think, 15 or 16 innovation schools, and those are schools that take these huge high schools and they cut them up into three or four or five high schools within that high school, so there's only 300 or 400 kids per school, so they can still play sports as a school. So he's trying all these different ideas that transform schools, and it's been amazing to watch. I mean, he's just bulled his way through everybody, from teachers unions to cajoling politicians. He's very good at that, and he's been able to create these schools that what they've done is, in some places the test scores have soared, some cases they've gotten a little bit better, some places they're flat, but it's the parents and the students themselves that are really motivated by this change. They love seeing what's happening, and that's been one of the big differences, I think, that we've seen here. And the young teachers, there's a real split in Baltimore between the old teachers who've been in for like 30 or 40 years, who are really wedded to the union, and young teachers who don't mind working extra hours and are pushing very hard. Young, not by age, young in terms of their tenure in the school system, I should say.
Well, you know, but Mark, there's been a complaint that there has not been enough communication between parents and students and the school districts. And Beth, I wanted you to play this clip from one of the students you spoke to. This is Rebecca Freeman, a senior at Paul Robeson High School in Brooklyn. She was actually speaking at a public hearing about these 19 schools that the school wanted to close.
I started Port Robeson High School last year, and I'm going to graduate this year. And you're trying to tell me that I'm a failure. I am not a failure. And I will never be a failure.
See, this is the issue. This is the problem when you start implementing school reform, is that it is so deeply personal.
It is, because even if a school is failing, and in this case, less than 50% of the students are graduating on time, people still love their neighborhood schools. And in New York's case, they have, in some communities, these are mostly communities of color, where people feel like the city has let their schools fail. And so they don't trust it to now turn these schools around. And they don't like being branded as failures. That hearing where she spoke was attended by thousands of people who spoke until 3 a.m. before a panel of people appointed by the mayor voted to shut down these 19 schools and phase them out.
So, Mark, do you think that there has been a breakdown in communication, as some people have complained, mostly parents in Baltimore, that that's caused some of the anger there?
Oh, that's part of it. That's part of it. I mean, you also have in some parts of Baltimore, there's a thing called the Algebra Project, which clearly started in Mississippi years back, but the students in that school and places like the Baltimore Freedom Academy, another innovation school, are very political, and they've organized other students. And they're at the heart of these demonstrations, saying, really aimed more at the state than at Alonzo and the city school system, demanding more money for the schools. They had this huge demonstration.
Right.
500 students showed up, which is a huge number of kids to show up, saying, no more money for jails, put our money into schools.
Okay, Mark Steiner is the host of the Mark Steiner Show at the Takeaway member station WEAA in Baltimore. But you know, Beth, anything that happens in education is going to spark strong feelings on both sides. To a certain extent, Barack Obama can't let these protests sway him if he's contemplating reform, right?
Exactly, and that's why you have the Obama administration even clashing with the teachers' unions, and the teachers' unions, because they know Democrats are more likely to be on their side than Republicans, are sort of going along half-heartedly. There's going to be a lot of interesting clashes across the country as we see how these reforms are implemented.
And Beth Fertig is a senior reporter for WNYC Radio in New York City, author of the new book, Why Can't You Teach Me to Read? And be sure to check out our website, thetakeaway.org. Beth has written about New York's attempt to close those 19 failing schools and what these attempts at reform actually mean for national educational policy.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.